in the book of 1 John. And I think we left off in chapter 2, verse 29. The Bible says, "If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." And we'll go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words. And Father, we thank you for this church. And we thank you for the folks here, Lord. And we just we pray, Lord, that you would just watch over us, watch over our families, and give us grace to go through whatever we're going through these days and until you come back. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay, so, verse 29, the Bible says, "If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." Apart from Jesus Christ, folks, you can't do anything that will please God. Why? Because there's always the flesh involved. And look, if you would, in Romans 8, there's always the flesh involved. Verses 6. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." And so if you're not saved this morning, you're in the flesh, right? And if you are saved, then you're not in the flesh. You might be, the Bible does say you walk in the flesh, but you're not in the flesh. Your soul is not in that flesh anymore, and you can start to please God. That happens when your soul and your spirit get cut away from your flesh. It's called the operation of God. It's found in Colossians. Colossians 2. Verses 10, the Bible says there that, "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised." Circumcision is a cutting away. "With the circumcision made without hands," the Bible says, "in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." And that's how he's able to do that. He cuts your soul away from your body. You're no longer there. He cuts your spirit away from the body. No longer there. And all your trespasses can be forgiven at that point. The body is still flesh, and it's still sin, and it suffers the price for sin. The wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. And it will suffer that if the Lord tarries and he doesn't come back to get us. But if you're saved, you're no longer in the flesh. That is your soul. Romans 8 and 9, or 8 verses 9. And so practically as a Christian... Let's read that one real quick. Romans 8, verse 9. "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit," the Bible says. "If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." And so we see that. And you're no longer in that flesh anymore if you're saved, if you've got the Spirit of God. And so practically as a Christian... was Jesus Christ righteous? Yes, he was righteous, of course. And so if you are doing righteousness, and you will, if you're walking in the Spirit, you're going to do righteousness. You know that the only reason why you're doing righteousness is because you're born of God. It's not because of you. If you do anything good, it's because of God that's in you, who's performing that good, and he's working through you, and it's working out to where people can see. And so, how are we going to boast about how good we do, right? Jesus Christ gets the credit for that. God in you. And so, so if you're doing righteousness, because you're born of God. Now let's look at this in light of the tribulation. Those in the tribulation will know who's born of God by what they do to God's people, right? But not until Jesus Christ comes back and lets people know, hey, this person did this, and this. He did it unto me. And so that when we see that in Matthew and stuff. And so what they do to God's people, and by what they do as far as following the Antichrist, and what they say about Jesus Christ and how they think about Jesus Christ, people are going to know. And they do get born again. Jewish people get born again in the millennium. And they will know. And you'll know that by what they did. And so, but you and I today know if somebody is born of God by what they think about Christ, right? And by what they do with Christ. You know. And you can know. And John, in first the book of 1 John, explains that to us. Okay, we'll go back to 1 John and chapter 3. So we got through chapter 2. And verses, if you hadn't noticed, chapter 1 and chapter 2, the first two chapters of 1 John, they deal with fellowship. The fellowship. And you'll find that the next three chapters, John will start to deal with your sonship. Your sonship. Or that is your position in Jesus Christ. And so the doctrinal application here will be your standing in Jesus Christ as a son. And that's what he's going to be talking about. That's what the context is going to be about. And so the Bible says, behold, chapter 3, verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And folks, we really need to get a hold of this verse. There's a lot here. And there was a time, if you're saved, that you were an enemy of God. We all know that. And not only that, but the world hated you. And so here you are as an unsaved person in the world without hope, without any hope. Right? Without hope, without God, without hope. And yet God provides a way for you to be saved. And he saves you immediately upon belief in his son. It's an immediate thing. That operation we just talked about, it's immediate. The moment you believe. The moment you believe in his son. Now look, if you would, in Ezekiel. And we're going to see what our position really is here. Ezekiel chapter 16. When we first come into this world. Ezekiel 16, starting verse 3. And say, we'll read verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. And say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother a Hittite. And so here we're going to see that the context is Jerusalem. But this is also, folks, the condition of every man and every woman that is born into the world. You're going to see this. It's their condition. It's their condition. Verses 4. And as for a nativity in the day thou was born, thy navel was not cut, neither was thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these things unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out into the open field, to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee, I saw thee polluted in thine own blood. I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Okay? And so, every man, when he's born in this world, the condition of that person is they're dirty. They're dirty. And they're polluted in their own blood. Why? Because of the disobedience that took place in the Garden of Eden. That's why, folks. Death is going to pass upon all men. For all have sinned, the Bible says. And so everyone is polluted when they come into this world. And the Bible says, now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, a time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into the covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. Okay? And so we know that that's dealing with Israel and all these things. And then they rebelled against the Lord, and that's why the Lord sent all these prophets to them to try to get them right. Okay? But that's the condition of every man. The fact of the matter is that every man comes into this world polluted in their own blood and has nothing, folks, nothing of any value. And you know who got a hold of this? Job did. And we're going to read that here in a little bit. But look at what the Lord does for Jerusalem. And the Lord does this for everyone. He does it for everyone. I clothed thee also with broidered work and shod thee with badger skins. I girded thee about with fine linen and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with the ornaments and I put bracelets upon thy hand. So you see, when a person comes into this world, they have nothing. They have nothing. And everything that they get in this life is from God. It's from the Lord. And Job knew this before this was even written. He knew it. Look, if you would, in Job 1. And so we say, well, this has to do with Israel and blah, blah, blah. And okay, well, look at Job. Was he Israel? Was he Jewish? Was he an Israelite? No, I mean, this is way before Ezekiel's talking to the nation of Israel. Job 1:21. Here's Job after he's lost pretty much everything materialistically you can think of, right? Except for his life and his wife. And some say that maybe that was like a judgment in that, right? But I don't think it is. Job loved his wife, and he did have to correct her a couple times. But Job 1:21, here he is. He's lost his kids, and what does he do? Verse 20, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And so, every man's condition, when they come into this world, you have nothing. You're there, you're naked, and that's the way you leave. And so that's the, really, if you think about it, that's a pretty fair thing. God gives everybody the same when they start, and they get the same when they leave. As far as materialistic things in this world, that's pretty fair. That's pretty fair. And so, but you don't get to leave this world with anything. You start off with nothing, and you don't get to leave with anything. And Job also realized that everything he had in this world, everything, was given by God. Everything. And so, it's given by God Almighty, and it's God's to take away. We're given no promises that we're to keep anything that we get here on this earth, right? Except for salvation. When God promises you You'll never lose that. You'll never lose it. Why? Because he can't lie. But you're not promised that the material things that you have in life that you didn't start out with, or you're going to keep. You're not promised that. They can be gone in a moment in time. And when you realize that those things are God's to give and take away, you can praise God for that stuff when you have it, and praise God for the stuff when you don't. And that's a great blessing. And Job got a hold of this. Everything a man has is because, why? Because God is good. Everything. And no matter how minute it is, folks, God is good. And not only that, but everything a person that comes into the world that doesn't have is because of the goodness of God. It's because of the goodness of God. If you were given the life essentials to grow up from a child, that's the goodness of God, right? And that's what leads a person to repentance, God's goodness. And that's found in Romans 2:4. But what about the babies? What about the little babies that are found dead in the garbage cans, right? Or that are found in other countries, and even in this country, they die because of starvation. And they die because they freeze it. They don't have the proper clothes. What about those? What about the children, right? That's what Hitler's... I mean, he was concerned with the children. That's how they got the guns over there. And you see how they want to get the guns here. The children. Look at all the shootings, the so-called mass shootings in these schools. And you start to go and research some of these things, and you see the same people popping up in all the same locations or all around the country, right? But they use the... What about the children? And you'll have these excuses brought up by people that don't want to believe in God. I don't believe that there's a God that exists that would allow a little baby to be thrown in a garbage can. Right? Where's the goodness of God in that? Where is it? Well, if you know anything about the judgment of God, you know that if a baby dies before a certain time, before it knows the law, before that law is revealed to a baby, before that baby comes to consciousness of, hey, I've done something wrong against a creator, right? You know that before that baby has that, it's got the law written in out, but before it knows that law is in its heart, when that person or that baby stands before the Lord at the judgment, great white throne judgment, guess what happens? Sin is not imputed when there is no law. And that's what the Bible says in Romans. It's not imputed where there is no law. That baby never knew the law, right? Can't impute the sin to the baby, even though it may have done that. And that's the goodness of God, right? God's able to save a child that he didn't give any of these essentials to. Goodness of God, folks. And so for all those with doubts about the existence of God because of the misfortunate children, they're not misfortunate at all. They're not. God wiped out whole civilization using the Hebrews, the Jewish people, with the babies. And he's able to save the babies of those wicked civilizations. And so, God is good when he supplies more than what's needed. And when he supplies only what's needed. And when he supplies nothing that's needed, God's still good. And so he's so good that he even provides a way for us, the people that he allows to come into this world. He's so good that he even provides a way for us to become a son of God. to become his own son, right? And that's through adoption. We know that as you study your Bible and stuff. But he provides a way for that. And folks, that's love. And that's goodness. That's God's goodness. But in order for you to be called, and you know why this is? Because in order for you to be called one of his sons, guess what God had to do? He had to give up one of his sons for that to happen. He had to give up his only begotten son as a sacrifice to make an atonement for our sins. And that is your pollution, right? That we just read about in Ezekiel. And that includes the babies. That includes the tribes in the rainforest that nobody's ever gotten to. That includes even you, even me. It includes everybody, the whole world, folks. And so if anything should lead a person to repentance, it's the fact that God is so good. And he loves the world so much that he gave to the world his son. And folks,